Good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. It is Monday, the 19th day of October 2020. I am David Ellis with you up until 2 o'clock today. And John Stout is assisting me as the technical operator and a producer. Your number 4341790, and you can send your text messages to me as well via 266-4862. That's the WhatsApp number. Well, we are counting down to this by-election here in Barbados on November 11th. There's increased activity out there in St. George North, and not everything that is being discussed is parochial. There are some things that have broader national significance. A lot of what is being said on the platform is seeking to address how the country, the government, is looking at the various issues that have been confronting us, the things that have been put in place. And by the same token, those who are critical of the government have been highlighting what they see as the failures. Now, there has been some discussion about whether the Electoral and Boundaries Commission has responsibility for the conduct of election debates in Barbados. As you may well be aware, the Prime Minister has publicly been touting the idea of having election debates coming out of the St. George North campaign. And it does look as though there are going to be at least two debates arising out of that. Now, Caswell Franklin of the PDP has been emphatic that the Electoral and Boundaries Commission has responsibility, but nothing is stated explicitly in the legislation to this effect, as far as I can see. What is explicit is that the EBC has responsibility for election broadcasts. So every election, mainstream broadcasters must comply with these rules that are laid down by the EBC, allowing the major political parties to participate in these election broadcasts. Of course, the landscape has changed a lot, which means that people could go online and put up whatever they want to put up, and they are not bound by the same rules. So that is one of the things that must come into consideration when we make changes in relation to what happens in this regard at the level of the EBC. In the circumstances, though, what we have is a situation where these broadcasts, or these debates rather, are really at the whims and fancies of various political leaders. I know that it's been quite a while since we had a general election campaign in Barbados where we have had debates between the political leaders. Some people have had absolutely no appetite or interest in it. So we have seen these situations where, though media houses wanted to have these debates, and at one stage, I think the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry was looking at whether it could put something in place with the media houses to create this framework where every general election we could hear from our political leaders in this way. Now, nothing ever came of that. There are people, though, who question whether we really need election debates at all. But let's look at the case of Jamaica. There, they have the Jamaica Debates Commission, which was formed in 2002 as a partnership between the Media Association of Jamaica and the Jamaica Chamber of Commerce. And they give us the objective to assist in the strengthening and growth of the democratic process by encouraging and supporting the dissemination and discussion of political views in an open and unbiased manner so as to enable the Jamaican electorate to make informed decisions. So, in your judgment today, is this something that Barbados needs as well? And if so, should it be among the matters policed by the Electoral and Boundaries Commission, or, in your view, Should some other body be responsible for this? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello, morning.
Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Thank you. Now, I'm not championing, all right? I want to make that clear.
I determine now.
I am just making a comment. I hear a lot of talk about debating, or who can debate, and all that. Yes, talk is part of everything. You've got to talk first before you get things implemented. But I've been hearing so much talk. And what have we seen for all the talk? Things are still the same. In some cases, they are worse. I have formed your
In your judgment, walk with me. In your judgment, everything has basically remained the same or gotten worse? And if you're saying that, what has remained the same or what has gotten worse?
The criticisms that were made of the last administration, and yes, the criticisms
were What were those criticisms?
Right? Mm-hmm. Consultant thing, too many ministers thing, and all of that.
That was not the only thing that was said.
What
I'm doing here is challenging your assertion that everything has remained the same or gotten worse, because a major issue had to do with the state of the Barbados economy, and we've had a restructuring of debt since then. We weren't able to get buses. We have electric buses on the streets right now. We weren't able to get garbage trucks. We have garbage trucks. We had a situation where the sewage problem existed on the South Coast, and that is not the problem that it was back then. So I'm just challenging your assertion that things have remained the same or gotten worse. So you tell me what you were talking about.
I would give in to what you just mentioned, right? But to me, people are the most important thing. People. You need people, right? And a lot of things have not changed for a lot of people, and they have gotten worse. That is a fact.
Well, that is a very convenient statement to make, because it is logical that in life that would happen. Some people would get a tough time, and things would worsen for some.
Yeah.
But there are people that things might have improved for as well. So Look, we are also in COVID, and a lot of people have lost their jobs and that sort of thing. So, for sure, there are a lot of people who will be worse off, especially because of that.
Yeah, but David, when you look at the salary of a minister and the purse, and the amount of ministers that we have, when you look at that, and you keep on targeting the small man all the time. The small man are the ones who are being targeted, and the facts are there. I don't give the evidence. I give the fact. The mere fact that that you still have these so many ministers and so many consultants, people getting $22,000 a month and all of that, but yet you are targeting people who can earn less than maybe $1,000 a month. And that's a big figure. Who have families to support? So many of these kind of things happen. There's a key word that we all forget, you know. If I'm not me, there's a word named survival. And when driven to survive, most people, if not all, will do almost or anything to survive. That's a fact. We have a prime minister that, for me, she's very skilled at talk and words. Very, very skilled. Can't take that from her. She's very skilled at that. I am not impressed by the things people say. I am impressed by the things people do. That's me. And this is not about party politics, because you know that, because it's like both parties. If it deserves credit, like when you mention what you mentioned, that's no. To me, I quickly give in. Because you were correct.
But by the same token, I must say to you that it would be courageous on my part to try to defend the government when it comes to the criticism that you have delivered about the size of government. The only person who can properly defend that is the person who has helped to create it, or who has created it, and that is the Prime Minister. I certainly cannot go in any direction of trying to put any defense on that, other than to leave you with what the Prime Minister has told you, that many hands make light work, if that satisfies you.
But David, all she has said about the about her justification about the ministers is the work. Well, I would think that when you criticize 17, when you get here, you've got 12. But you know what? It isn't that the Prime Minister is all this smart, you know, is that the people still got this 18th century mentality that once they elect you, once they support a party, don't care what wrong to do, they can support it. It isn't that any politician smarter than anybody else. It's that the people stupid.
All right, Mr. That's P. What it is. Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You got that off your chest early in the morning. Hello. 4341790. Hello. Welcome to the program. Any of you listen to the political speeches this weekend? Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm okay.
I want to wish you a very good day, sir.
Yes, sir.
Right. I want to say sometimes I agree with what you call him now, Mr. P.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I agree with him, you know. It ain't everything that you will agree with him, but I agree with him, you know. I want to say this. Poor people always saddle the bills of countries. And you might try to tell me it ain't so, and it ain't this way, but I know it different to that because I got understanding. I want to tell you, I'm dealing with something that I want somebody to come and tell me it is not going to happen. I deal with barrels. And what they want to do is defray it that you pay. First thing, I'm grant the holder, so I don't have to hide.
Mm-hmm.
So they can come and challenge me on this. What they want to do is defray it that people would pay for the barrels coming in from overseas. They want to add that freight, which would be in U.S., to what you would pay customs. You would have already paid for your documents. You would have paid the port authorities a charge. And all of that they want to do to poor people. And my mother is still alive, and she used to always tell me, comforting words are for fools. And a lot of people comfort you with words, but deep inside, they don't mean what they say. And I watch carefully. They do everything to unfair poor people. I deal with barrels every day. That's my life. And eventually what they're going to do, and they want to try to believe that it ain't so, but I know, is I am not going to sit down and allow this government to do this to people because it ain't fair. Don't forget, you're going to, well, not me, but you're going to come to the people again and ask them for an X.
Okay, so where have you seen this proposal? I mean, you work in the business, so have you seen a document to that effect?
I ain't got to see a document. I heard it from reliable sources.
You heard it from reliable sources.
I haven't seen a document.
So you have any sense of exactly when it's supposed to be introduced?
Well, it is something that they would push through the back door, and I am alerting people who send them barrels for the family and who receive barrels here. This is what they want to do. I am not going to reveal my source.
I'm not asking you to do that.
Right.
The question here is, where would this push the cost for bringing in a barrel?
You know where it will push the cost? It will stop people from bringing them in, and people, family from...
But if they're going to do that, I mean, I'm going only on what you heard from somebody. And that's why I ask you...
And speak to you, I'm not going to be speaking.
I don't need that.
You don't need what?
I don't need you coming to speak to me. Mm-mm. What I am saying...
You often... Just one minute.
No. You just let me speak. What I'm saying here is that in the circumstances, the ideal is to be able to refer to a specific document that indicates this is what they plan. Now, in the absence of that, what you are doing is that you've heard from a reliable source that this is what is being proposed. You know what we need to do now? We now need to ask the authorities to state officially whether this is indeed the case. And if so, why is it being done at this point? And to what extent is it going to make a difference to the cost? That is what we require in all these circumstances.
You know, the cost is going to increase.
If it is true.
And you know, the cost will affect me.
Well, that's why I'm saying to you that in light of what you are hearing, we now have to ask the port authorities or the people at customs.
It is not the port.
Or the customs. What exactly is being proposed here?
Mr. Ellis.
Who's doing it?
Hold on. If the government pushes it on the customs, that's what they will have to do. When I speak, I want it to be clear. I don't want to blame the port. I don't want to blame the customs. It would be over customs head. It would be the people who get elect. So I don't want to blame.
So do you join me in saying that you want to hear officially from government what is the position, right?
Well, that's what I would like to hear. That's why I give my name. And first, okay. I don't want to be afraid to speak. So I ain't got to hide behind a mask and hide behind anybody. I speak because I'm into this every day.
How many years
and
have you been doing this now?
Whenever you speak about things, people always sidelight them and try to push you off of what you want to speak about. But I come with facts. I come with what I know.
Is that happening today? You're being sidelined?
You ain't doing it. But most of I listen to this program most of the days, you know. Sometimes when I'm doing an examination, I can't always listen. But right now, I have my daughter working with me, so I get a little more chance to listen to it. But I want to say that I dislike the behavior of politicians. I remember you last week, you spoke about the MRI, that piece of equipment that needed at the hospital, and how important it is. You know, none of them ain't come out and talk about it. None of them ain't say, well, they're going to get one. Everybody in St. George. And when I tell you my sick, no politician is a favorite of mine. That's the truth. I ain't got a favorite politician.
Why is that?
There's my boy and there's my... No, I ain't got none.
Why?
Because I see all of them as the same.
Okay.
And there are some things about this government that I dislike. Strongly dislike.
Such as?
I remember... You hire a lot of people, and this is eat me out. You hire a lot of people who would have already made it in life, who would have already going to get a good pension and whatever it is. And you bring them back on to work. And your slogan is, you care. Man, who you really think you can fool?
So you believe that you bring a person back to work just because you care or because... You want somebody who's got experience and can do a particular task that you have in mind.
Mr. Ellis.
Is it only about bringing on people to create a job or to find people who can do the job?
What job? So how would a young person ever get experience? I sick on hearing people say
there are two sides to that. Why you don't, in those circumstances, you should surrender your company right now to your daughter because she's young.
Not eventually.
You should do it right now, based upon your argument.
But no, don't come to me with that.
Because you know that your experience still matters.
But even though I have the experience, I will not go up front. I still stay there in the background to make sure things are going
good. Okay, but you're still there. That's the point. And then for you to characterize,
we are discussing. Do not
for you.
You try very much
to put another side to you. You're not going to come here with me and sit down and believe that you are just going to have your side of it and no other side can be put to you. If you don't like that in me, well, sorry, but that's how I do it. You have put your side of the story.
I told you earlier that is how you're good at that.
Good at what?
You will have a good point or discussing something, and you will find your best. But for sure, you ain't going to distract me from what you want to say.
My friend, let me say something to you, and I want to make it clear. I am not here to distract you. I am here to let you articulate your point, but to let you know that your point ain't the only point. The way that you see it is not the only way that it is seen. That's all I'm asking you to recognize. That if you say that the government goes and it hires these old people and puts them to do work.
No, I never said.
Retired people, and that got getting pension already. I'm putting them in jobs when young people can do the same jobs. And I'm saying to you, that's one side of the story. But there's another side to that story.
What's the other side?
The experience factor is one of the issues.
These same people that are retired now, they had a beginning stage.
Yeah, but there were older people there to guide them too.
So what I'm
saying, the same way that, as you said, in any company, you will find somebody who is older, who is there holding the hands and holding the feet of the younger person until that person can get to another stage. But it's not just a question of just creating jobs for the boys. That's the other point. That's the side of it that I'm putting to you.
Well, you can tell me what you feel, but deep inside, I know what I believe.
Well, I ain't trying to change your mind.
But no, you can't change my mind.
I am not trying.
You're trying to tell me.
I am not trying.
I know different to that.
I am not trying. All I'm saying to you is don't expect to come and put your view, and don't anticipate that somebody else, whether it is me or a caller, will have an alternative perspective to put to you.
You can still hold on to your view.
Pardon?
I understand you quite clear. I'm not saying that you are to accept whatever I say, because if you say something that I don't agree with, I would challenge you.
Precisely.
But before you leave, I want what I mentioned to you first about the implant, with the barrels. You said you were going to check.
To clarify, you're saying that they are adding the freight costs.
It hasn't been added yet.
They're proposing to add the freight costs that you would be paying from the U.S. or wherever you're bringing the material to what? To the overall cost?
Let me go through it again.
I want to be clear.
Right. What they're proposing to do is the freight that you would pay for your barrels or whatever you bring in here. They want to add that freight. The documents that you would pay for from the shipping agent, the gate fee at the port, along with what customs are going to charge you. So that would be an additional cost.
So right now, how is the freight paid for?
No, most people would pay freight over there, or when the agents come here, when the documents come in, you will go and pay for your documents. But they want to add what you pay.
So essentially, you come across as suggesting that they're asking you to pay for it twice? You pay the freight.
They want to add the cost. They want to add it with all the other charges that you would have already paid for already. They want to add that. So in other words, the cost is going to go up.
No, that's not the issue. Are they asking you to pay anything twice? Is this what you're saying?
It will not be twice, Mr. Ellis. It will not be twice. You see, you're not listening to me carefully.
I'm trying to clarify. I'm trying to be
Mr.
clear.
Ellis.
If I am supposed to get something clarified for you, I must be clear in my mind as to exactly what you are asking me to do.
Let me go through the stages again.
I have heard the stages. What I am unclear about is whether you are saying that you previously would not have paid the freight and now they are asking you to pay stuff get here. Or alternatively, you paid the freight there and now they're asking you to pay the freight here instead of there. Or whether they're asking you to pay the freight twice.
Mr. Ellis, that is not what I said.
I want to be clear.
What I said to you is that you would pay your freight. If your family sent it and you will pay, they will pay for it. You will that would ship in down here. You will go to the agents and pay for your documents. What they are proposing to do is whatever the freight is from overseas or here, they want to add that with the charges that you would have already paid already. So it is additional charge that they want to put on people. That is what it is.
And just for out of a desire to be clear, and this means that the people who were sending the material to you, the items, would already have paid freight in New York?
They pay the freight to send whatever you want down here.
Right.
You will go to the local agents, and you will pay for your documents, which that is what I do, or the customer, whoever it is, will go and pay for the documents. The freight, normally most of these things pay in U.S. currency. They want to use the U.S. currency that your family members would have paid. They want to, well, quite obviously, you know, it would be breaking down in Barbados currency, so it would be more. They want to add that along with what you would pay after you pay the gate, which is the fee at the port, the customs duty, then for your documents. All of those things.
All right, we need to clarify that. Because essentially what you are saying to me is that the freight is being, the proposal is, from what you gather, that the freight will essentially be paid twice. It will be paid in U.S. dollars in New York, wherever it's being sent from, and then it will be paid in Barbados dollars. Essentially, that's what you're saying. That's why you're here. All right? Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, David.
Yes, sir. Morning.
Yeah. Now, I want to make comments on two statements that were made by you just now. But I really want to deal with how you acquire that initiative, sir. And I would elaborate on it shortly. Now, I heard you ask Mr. P, if things remain the same, how about the buses and the sanitation trucks?
And the state of the economy.
And the state of the economy. And you made reference to the sewage. I want to ask you a simple question. When the government came into power, the project was closed down, or they continue to try to remedy the sewage?
Which project?
The sewage project that where the sewage was on the ground. You made mention about it just now. The sewage in Christchurch, then.
What's your point?
Oh, Lord, I asked a question. You know, you always want to interrogate people. I ask you simply. My point is whether or not, if when the government take over office, if work was being carried out at the sewage project or not? That's a simple question.
As far as I recall, yes.
North Point?
Yes, work was being carried out.
Good. So therefore, it was the same engineers completing the job, and at completion, the present government would have been in power. One. The other one, you talk about having...
You really...
The other one, no.
This question is about the same engineers, or is it...
What you doing, let people talk, though?
All right, proceed.
I ask you a question, you're not making about the same engineers. Being alone with me to tell you, I tell you one, I talk about three things. I'll finish one, I tell you, I'm done with that. The other one, no, is you ask then a question about the other fellow that just called you, talk, pretend they're bringing in people that old, and yet you're paying them money. And what you said, you're calling in them for experience, right or wrong?
Proceed. Huh? You don't do at this stage. It really makes no sense whether I answer you or not. You just proceed.
Good.
You come to talk.
Whether you answer me or not, I want to know. If not, when the Prime Minister became Prime Minister, if she would not be new to the job, did she brought back an own offer to advise her on what she got to do? No. You don't want to answer, I can give the answer. No. Now let me go on to what the last one, which is more important to me, but the first. From the time I was visiting Parliament, I had a lot of admiration for who is now Sir Eliot Martley. And I could recall going into Parliament where he was attacked mainly by Sir Frank Walker. Well, he didn't Sir Frank at the time, but Frank Walker used to pillage him and tell him things like, if your father had to come back alive and see where you stand and what we would do and all that sort of thing. And that man stood in Parliament quietly. He could actually tell his daughter about this. The difference that I am looking at this is, that man, since he left the DLP and went off the Constitutional Journal of America, he has never, ever yet participated in any political meetings. Never went on a platform. And last and most important, why you got admiration for him? And I said he could be president. When he was named, when he got that name to Eliot Martley, that was given by his daughter, people say, do it. That she give it to him because of his status as a father. Let me say this to you this morning. I had great, and still continue to have great admiration for that man. You know that his daughter, Mayor Martley, was running as, you would know, the front-line person to be Prime Minister. And not even that session, he did not pay any contribution on political mass meetings on behalf of his daughter. Now, on the other hand, you had Sir Roy on a political platform and said he liked the General Secretary, like his daughter, and you have some person that ain't got the same like, which is a simile. He used his own political understanding and acceptance of who he is, and he never went on a platform to support his biological daughter. And that's why I say, when I look at Sir, I have great admiration for Sir Eliot Martley. He never exhibited any political interference or tried to contribute to his daughter's success. And that's what I call a real Sir, not like Sir Roy. Thank you.
All right, sir. Down to brass tacks.
Mr. Ellis?
Hi, how are you?
I am good. How about you?
I'm okay.
All right. Can I ask you three simple questions, and I'm going to answer as well?
Mm-hmm.
When last did you see a rainbow?
Recently, I've seen rainbows around here in recent times.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, too. All right, to your knowledge, did any man ever claim to contribute to the existence of a rainbow?
Not as far as I know. Do you know of any man who did?
No, I don't. All right, so there's a proposition. So can we firmly say that it's an original and a natural occurring phenomenon?
I would say so.
All right. I would say so, too. All right. So anything, if that's the original, anything other than that has to be a copyright?
Anything like what?
We're still talking about rainbows. Rainbows. No. Any other rainbow other than the one that you see in the sky has to be a copy.
Well, you would have to show me that copy in the sky then.
No. The one that you see in the sky, is that the original? Because that's the third question that you answered.
Well, they don't. One thing about rainbows, they don't last too long.
That is true.
So I don't know that I can say that's the original. I would say it's a rainbow, and it occurs naturally.
Right, it occurs naturally. But it's an original as in a rainbow. That rainbow is a rainbow. Is a rainbow. Is there anything else?
So I assume that you are connecting that to something else.
Of course. I'm not done. I just starting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just saying that when we look at what we see in the sky as a rainbow, that's the original. Mm-hmm. They may have had one before, but that's still the original one. and that anything else after that, anything else created after that has to be a copy. So if I go and draw something on a piece of paper, that's a copy of what I look in the sky and I see. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that on that same premise, that there are other natural occurring phenomena. And that was the first one. The first one is a rainbow. The second one that I'm going to bring is the physiology of a male and a female. That our bodies are designed to fit each other. And not only physically, but we are designed to fit each other. And when we come together, certain things happen, like what the Bible talks about. We're able to produce, and we're able to increase. And any copy after that, anything after that is a copy. It's not an original. So my premise is on under the same-sex union, which is being proposed. And I'm saying that if it's a copy, it's not the original design, and therefore it will be flawed, there will be problems. And what we have seen in other countries over the years is that it starts at one point, but it does not stop. It just continues to denigrate down and down. I was just checking something recently, and I was going to say something specific, but one of the things that I came across is that in the Caribbean, in Jamaica, bestiality is legal for visitors in Jamaica. This is right here in the Caribbean. And what has happened is that man was created, male was created for female. And what is happening now is that there's this downward slide towards we're almost becoming like the beast. God has given us the power of choice, power of self-control, and I think even any male and female know that function. One man may say, this person is actually too much for me. For us, it's going from that down to the level of a beast.
Now, I am fully appreciative of the kind of views that exist out there in this community on this issue of same-sex unions. And I am aware of protests that have taken place, and I've seen a very strongly worded contribution which came from Reverend Beard, and also I've seen something that was prepared and circulated on social media. What I need you to perhaps share with me is how far down do you see societies going once they take to this particular path? Because I have seen and heard this argument that if you went in that direction, the society would just go down into the dumps. But what are some of these things that we are seeing elsewhere that support your argument that it is the wrong step to take and society is worse off for it?
I would think that going down to the level of a human being having sexual intercourse with an animal.
You cannot use Jamaica as an example.
I'm not using it. This is not Jamaica. This is what is happening around the world.
Are you trying to suggest?
I brought Jamaica because that's near home.
Yeah, but Jamaica's attitude to homosexuality is far more aggressive and negative than ours, and therefore I don't know that you could go there to suggest that this is how the society has degenerated.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No. I absolutely am not saying that. I'm saying that what has happened is that we've moved from male and female. It has gone down to a whole set of series of different levels. We almost have the whole alphabet in the down to the level of a human being with a beast.
But I'm saying to you that that has been so in societies that have not necessarily gone in the direction of same-sex marriages, same-sex unions, and that's not new.
All right, so you want me to raise the bar? Is that what you're saying?
So, no.
You want me to raise the bar?
No, I'm not asking you to raise no bar. I'm just saying that in the discussion about the pros and cons of this whole situation, I'm just trying to get my own understanding of where other societies have gone. So that you are saying to us, you must warn Barbadians against it, because if we don't stop it, we will end up like them. In what respect is what I'm trying to gauge here, coming out of the arguments that I have seen and heard?
All right, we're going down to where you're having babies being molested.
But you're going to tie that to homosexuality?
No, I'm tying that to
denigration. There are pedophiles out there in society for years.
Mr. Ellis, I am tying that to the denigration of mankind, where God has designed man to function.
Are we talking about homosexuality here?
I have not changed the topic, and I will not change the topic.
Right.
I only want to talk about one thing. So God has designed man to function at a certain level. We are not only a body. We are a soul and we are a spirit. And what I said earlier is that we have the power of choice, and we can choose to live according to what the Word of God says. It's not only my flesh.
Mm-hmm. Did you participate in any of the activity this weekend, the marches or anything like that?
I did not, because I was not aware that it was on Saturday morning.
But you share with us how you feel about what is proposed, therefore.
Barbados has been built on a biblical foundation. And I know, without a shadow of doubt, that the only reason Barbados has the whatever status you want to put on it, whatever position it on, it is what moral, physical, natural, spiritual, political, is only because of the grace of God over this nation. This island has been covered by God in so many ways. We have seen so many natural disasters come to this nation, and it's as though God is standing over saying, not now. Not this time.
All right,
not
ma'am.
This time.
Thank you very much for your contribution. Bear in mind that there are various views on this, huh? And I think we have to respect the fact that those views exist and will be shared. So somebody else will come with perhaps an alternative perspective. Those of you who write to me and tell me that I shouldn't be entertaining this person and that person on the air, well, I'm very sorry, but, you know, we got to have a mix of views. We don't necessarily share every view that we hear, but we still need to give people a chance to be heard, unless we reach the point where we believe it is really outrageous, you know? But respect the fact that there are diverging views on this and other issues in the country. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Hello, morning, David.
Yes, hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Right, how are you?
I'm okay, you know.
Pretty good, that's good. Let me draw a little scenario, David. David, I'm at my home with my family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you came by, and during the conversations and things, I happened to call you an idiot. And by the time you walk away, and I wait till the next day to apologize, you really believe that apology genuine? My family give me a lot of pressure and tell me, I apologize to the man, don't call the man an idiot. And the next day, I apologize to him for calling you an idiot. You really believe that apology genuine? Well, I don't really believe that. And I say that to say this. You see that statement that was made by Mr. Bradshaw? I think that will, this is my view, that will drive a coffin in the name of Tony, in the nail, that will drive a nail in the coffin of Tony Moore. That is going to damage the campaign. Because what he said, and only affect Mr. Rufino. That statement will affect people like Sir Garfield Sobers. Even to West Hall. It will affect all the greats. Because any idiot can play cricket. In other words, Sir Garfield Sobers will have to be an idiot too. That's my contribution, David. Think about it.
Okay. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Welcome to the program. I'm getting some responses here on this charge that this man has made about the costings at customs. And I'm just pulling them together, and then I will try to share as many of them as I can. Hello? Welcome to Down with the Brass Tacks.
Hi, good morning, David.
Hi.
Hi, we are very hypocritical to that, you know.
How so?
Let me tell you what, your last caller, right? I think the statement that was made by Mr. Brasher was wrong. But have you heard anyone from the Democratic Labour Party apologize to the Prime Minister for that meeting at Waterford prior to the election? Have you heard anyone of them apologize to her? Come on, these two are a bunch of hypocrites, man. Thank you, David.
Politics. Politics. This person says, the man is correct. I paid double the cost at customs and was told by the officer that you're literally paying twice. The cost, including VAT, was paid overseas. Custom put on VAT again on that paid cost, even though it was paid and documented, and charged me again. I therefore paid for the items three times. Now, another person says what the gentleman was speaking about with the barrel shipment is the customs are adding those shipping charges to the total and then taking VAT and duties from it. So it's an extra cost. I know, because it happened to me too. Another person says, what I find that is unfair about the system they are using at the ports is that they remove the human element. They charge 20% for food and 60% for clothes. If your barrel has both, then it's 80%. There's no official to intercede if that barrel is full of food with 3 pieces of clothing. In case you don't see my point, a barrel full of food is $250. A barrel full of food with 3 pieces of clothes becomes $500.